we started off with a little football, a little baseball. No surprise. No shock. The Ravens all over the Jets. 42-21 down in Baltimore. And look, you watch the first half of this game. It should have been far more competitive than 21-7. Opportunities, believe it or not, were there for the New York Jets. Sam Ficken has a field goal blocked. Cost the Jets 3 points. The Jets, for the first time, it felt like all year, were able to establish Le'Veon Bell. But yet on a 4th-and-1 inside the Raven 10-yard line, they think it's a good idea to basically roll Sam Darnold out. I don't know how, for the life of me, anybody could think that is smart and wise play calling. 4th-and-1, you have Le'Veon Bell, you need a yard. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Don't try to get cute. I get the argument that, yeah, you could easily make the case that Robbie Anderson was held and maybe there could have been a pass interference call. Hate that play call on 4th-and-1. And then you get to the end of the first half where you saw the very, very good of Sam Darnold. The touchdown throw, as good a throw, as good a hookup as you're going to see all year. And a reminder of why somebody like me is so bullish on Sam Darnold long term, because the skill set is there. What you also saw, though, is the bugaboo of Sam Darnold that absolutely needs to be cleaned up. Sam Darnold's turnovers are still an issue. They are still a problem. They are still something that needs to be answered for in the years to come if this is going to be a top-notch quarterback in this league. And the throw he made on that interception, basically throwing the ball into double coverage, that's a rookie mistake. That is the sort of mistake you cannot see from a quarterback who should be on the rise. When you have basically 3 premium possessions to get points against a Raven team that's amongst football's best, and on those 3 possessions, you come away with nada, you have absolutely positively no chance of being competitive against Baltimore. Baltimore's too damn good. The Jets are too limited. Those 3 mistakes are killers. Because instead of that first half being, I don't know, 21-13, 21-17, a 1-possession game, you're down 2 scores. And then you make the other mistake right at the beginning of the second half. You're going to give Lamar Jackson and company a short field. That's all she wrote. And for the Ravens, they continue to be this well-oiled machine. The Jet defense without Jamal Adams, the Jet defense being as limited as they are, had absolutely no chance in slowing down this freight train. And for Lamar Jackson, the path to an MVP trophy continues. 15 of 23 for 212 yards, 5 touchdowns. Guarantee all the back pages. Jackson 5 torches the New York Jets. 212 yards in the air, 5 touchdowns in the air, runs for 86 yards over 8 carries. And I go back to an argument I had with Bart Scott a couple weeks ago. And see, it just goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I will admit when I am wrong. I remember going on a year with Bart, and we got into it regarding the MVP race. And at the time, I was adamant the MVP in the NFL should have been Russell Wilson. Bart was all over Lamar Jackson after his great effort against the New England Patriots. And I have to admit, I couldn't have been more wrong. At the time, yeah, I will continue to defend my decision of justifying Russell Wilson. But when you look at what Wilson has done over the last few weeks, and you look at what Jackson has done over the last few weeks, can't compare. Jackson continues to put up these unbelievably gaudy numbers. He is playing the position in such a unique way. The numbers back it up. That performance Monday night against the LA Rams. Now he has another game in primetime where he's throwing five touchdowns, running for 70, 80, 90 yards like it's nothing. Folks, Lamar Jackson's going to be the MVP this year. And you know what? He deserves to be the MVP. He is putting on an incredible show. And you think back to the quarterback class of 2018. And I still think it has a chance to go down as a very, very good quarterback class. Sam Darnold has work to do. Still believe in the player. Baker Mayfield has some growing up to do. Still believe in the player. Josh Allen needs to work on his accuracy, but is leading the Buffalo Bills, is making plays with his legs, and is a part of a team that's going to be playing in the month of January. Four of those quarterbacks in the first round, doing some really good stuff. But right now, it's not even close. The best quarterback in the 2018 crop class, it's Lamar Jackson. And the irony in all of this is that Lamar Jackson was selected last out of this group. Credit the Baltimore Ravens. They have built that team around his skill set. They have a power running game. They have a quarterback that is impossible to defend. They have the tight ends that they utilize. They have Hollywood Brown who's doing his thing. They're going to be really tough to beat. And you know what? John Harbaugh is the second best head coach in the National Football League. I've said that on this show countless times. That's why last year I was head over heels with the possibility that he could come here, that he could go to the Miami Dolphins. He's that good a head coach. And Baltimore was smart enough to realize we're not going to let this guy go. But I don't know if you guys noticed this in the Jet-Raven game. John Harbaugh on 4th-and-1. The Ravens on 4th-and-1. When they were up 21 points. They're up 21 points. 4th-and-1 on their own 29-yard line. They go for it. I absolutely love it. That's new age Johnny Analytics coming into play. Because John Harbaugh, like me, has embraced the element of analytics. 4th-and-1, your chances with Lamar Jackson of converting that are pretty darn good. And you're up 21 points? To hell with it. Push it. I'm watching that. I have a big fat smile on my face. You know what you call that? Coaching to win. Playing to win. I'd like to see some other teams around the league, some other teams, maybe even in this town, take some notes. Right now, Baltimore looks like the Super Bowl favorites. That could change over the next couple weeks. The Jets had opportunities in the first half. You leave points on the board against a team as good as that, you're not going to have a chance. Because they're too good. And the talent gap is just way too wide. So the Jets now 5-9 on the year. The Ravens improved to 12-2. And for the New York Jets, it's the idea of playing out the string. And look, Adam Gase, whether you like him or not, is going to be back coaching his team next year. I know that's not going to sit well with a good majority of Jet fans, but I don't think there is anything that can happen over the next 2 weeks in a Steeler game or in a game against the Buffalo Bills that's going to change anything. Adam Gase is coaching his team next year. He had better do a much better job. Joe Douglas got a lot of work to do on the offensive line, in adding weapons, in getting better on defense. You think you're going to be a playoff team next year? There are multiple pieces that got to be added to this team. And the Jets need to start drafting and killing it in the draft the way a team like the Baltimore Ravens has. That's how you can go through sustained NFL success. Picking the right players, developing the right players, prioritizing who you're going to re-sign, and seeing that cycle continue. Hey, the Ravens looked like a franchise that was kind of spinning their wheels a couple of years ago. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl winning quarterback, they had the guts to say, you know what? We got to move on. They moved on in a way maybe the Giants should have with Eli Manning a couple of years ago. Now, I get it. Eli won two Super Bowls. Joe Flacco only won the one Super Bowl. They realized last year, we got to draft a quarterback. This kid is too special to pass up. Takes over, the rest is history. And now the Ravens well on their way. And if I'm the Jets and the Giants, I'm watching that game. I'm taking a whole lot of notes about the right way to run an NFL organization.